Am I in the center of the room? I'm behind the cross, right? That's the center of the room. That's the center of our life, right? Jesus Christ? The center? Yes. Well, Sometimes life seems impossible. Sometimes things seem impassable. Can't get past things. Anybody here notice that sometimes? And we know that we need God to see us through those things, don't we? That's why we rely on our God, who always shows up right when we need it, all the time. And I'm going to combine the Old and New Testament today, so there's going to be some teachings here. So for those of you that like to take notes, go right ahead and do so. And that's why the lights are up, so you can read your Bibles along with me if you'd like, and also take some notes, because this is going to be one of those times when you're going to learn a lot. And take that a lot and apply it to your life, right? Because it's all about you. It's all about you learning. It's all about you understanding the Word of God and how it applies to all of our lives. So we're going to go to the book of Joshua this morning. Joshua chapter 3. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. So, two things you're going to learn right away. Acacia is a city, but it's also the same type of wood that was used to make the Ark of the Covenant, to make the tabernacle where the Israelites would often go and worship God. So that acacia wood, let me tell you a few things about it. It's resistant to decay. It's strong and sturdy, and it endures. In fact, that same Ark of the Covenant, that same wood, was taken into Solomon's temple 400 years later, after this time I'm speaking of. That's how long that acacia wood lasted. So you see, when you have a God who builds things, uses things of this earth to teach us things for our lives. We have an enduring God. We have a God who lasts forever. We have a faith in God that we can stand on all the time, and we never will decay. Now, we might get older, some of you, myself, okay, I'll get older too, but needless to say, we're never going to decay. We're not going to rot in the ground. None of us are, because, well, we go to the New Testament. What happened? Jesus Christ came, right? And he swallowed up death forever. That's what he did. So far we see acacia wood. Then we see that they're at the banks of the Jordan River. The Jordan River. The place where John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. Jesus stepped into that river. And when he stepped into that same river where other people had been baptized before, he then had the Holy Spirit descend upon him. And that's how John the Baptist knew, because God had told John the Baptist, when you see someone in the Jordan River and the Holy Spirit descends on them, that's the Messiah. That's the anointed one. That's the Son of God. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus went into that Jordan River, right into the center of it. And when he was in there, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And John saw it and said, there's the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for. So far, the first verse, we find out that we have an enduring God. We have someone that when he has things made, and by the way, acacia wood only grows in the wilderness. Oh, anybody here ever been in the wilderness? Where do you think most growth happens for all of us, as much as we don't like it? In the wilderness. Why? Because we're alone there. We only can rely on God there. And we know that in the New Testament, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, right? To be tempted by the devil, to be fully human, and to take on Satan once and for all with the Word of God, which is a sword that he used to just chop that devil down. And he used that same word. In the wilderness, the place of vulnerability, the place where he was hungry and thirsty, that's where Jesus was, and that's where we often can be, can't we? Wilderness experience. But what happens there? The Word of God, when we put the Word of God there and we rely on God, that enduring God who never decays, who's strong and faithful to us, comes and ministers to us. And even the angels went and ministered to Jesus after Satan attacked him. So one good thing about the wilderness is this: you're never alone in the wilderness. You may feel like you are, It may sound like you are. You may be thirsty and hungry in those moments, emotionally and spiritually speaking, but guess what? God is in the wilderness too. And that's where he gives us that living water. That's where he feeds us the word. And that's where we must feed on the word of God. And that helps us through those times. But that's where we grow. Because we're not going to stay in the wilderness, right? There's no such thing as staying somewhere stuck with God, is there? Now, some of us want out of the wilderness faster, don't we? Because we're about to cross the Jordan. I don't know if you know the story. You know the story, right? They crossed the Jordan. Ta-da! But that's not the meat of the story, is it? Of course it isn't. You got to know what's inside of here that shows you God's specificity of how God is in every little aspect of all of our lives, in every detail. And God is always intentional to teach us something that not only happened years and thousands of years ago, but is relevant to us today, right now. All right. 3 days later. Does that number mean anything to anybody? Beautiful. You're already ahead of me. 3 days later, the Israelite leaders went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant made of acacia wood with gold on top, with cherubim on top, with the mercy seat on top, that's where they used to give sacrifices for guilt offerings and to remove sin. Aaron would go there once a year for the Day of Atonement. This is known as the Atonement Seat or the Mercy Seat. When you see that Ark of the Covenant, watch what's going to happen. Follow them. When you see mercy ahead of you, when you see mercy coming to you, when you see Jesus Christ on the cross, mercy, follow it. Where is it going to lead you? Well, we're going to see. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Sometimes we need to be guided, don't we? Levitical priests were there ahead of the people, right? What were they carrying? The Ark of the Covenant on each of their shoulders. It was large and it was heavy laden because it had gold upon it and had the mercy seat there. And so this is what the people are going to follow. See, when we follow, we're always going to be following God, right? That's what the Ark of the Covenant represented to the Israelite people. So you follow that. You don't follow people. You follow God, always. And if you have a Levitical priest or a priest of any kind or a pastor of any kind, we're following Christ. So that's safe to follow us because we're holding up the Ark of the Covenant. Which essentially, we're going to get to that in the New Testament. What do you suppose the ark gets replaced with? Jesus Christ. The cross that he bore. That's our symbol of our Ark of the Covenant. Because he fulfilled all the law, all the commandments that were inside of the Ark of the Covenant. Those commandments that God wanted. Jesus fulfilled them. And then he gave us two more commandments, which are actually similar to what's inside that ark, right? Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Keep those two commandments and you're keeping all the law. Got it, church? You learned something today about how you're supposed to live, right? Just do two things. Well, one thing. Two things. One, follow God. Two, follow his commandments. Correct? All right. Moving right along. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do great wonders among you. So here's the thing about following God. And back in this time, God wanted people to be purified. He wanted them to leave behind. They were actually leaving the place where they were, and they're going to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. Remember, that was something that Moses was stopped at the Promised Land. They crossed the Red Sea once. So this is one time they crossed over somewhere. Left Egypt, went into this lair area. They didn't make it into the Promised Land yet, but then Joshua's going to lead them into the Promised Land, are they not? But in order to do that, they had to leave some things behind, didn't they? So if you want your life to change, let me put it this way. You got to leave some things behind. We've talked about, as Jesus taught us, that we have to carry our cross and crucify ourselves and get rid of the self in us. the self that wants all the things of the world, the things that other people want that aren't godly necessarily, those are the things we got to leave behind. So before we move on to any place in your life, if you're trying to move forward somewhere, you're trying to follow God, you can't bring along all your garbage and your baggage. There's just not enough room. And you're going to stink up the place with that. So you leave that behind. Got it? All right. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river." Lift up the Ark of the Covenant. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the cross. That's what we're to do. You lift it up. When Jesus said, "If you lift me up before all humankind, I will draw people to me." He was talking about being lifted up on the cross. Do you see how important it is to lift up people and to lift up God and to put God in front of people where they can see God? Now, sometimes that's you doing that, isn't it? By the way you act, by the way you teach people through your life. You're lifting up God, are you not? So people can follow you and see where you're headed to a better, more spiritual place. Lift up the Ark of the Covenant, lead the people across the river. So they started out. Ta-da, we're going to go across the Jordan River. Easy, right? So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to the war. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you great in the eyes of all the Israelites. Now they will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give these instructions to the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop." Why do you suppose God is telling those Israelites or the priests to do that? Well, think about walking into the Gulf of Mexico right now. If we were going to try to cross it, we're going to take a few steps into it, right? What has to open up that Jordan River or open up the Gulf of Mexico? God's power. So when they get there, they're going to stop. So all the people are going to be waiting at the edge. And here's what's going to transpire also. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Pezerites, Gigerites, and all those other ites out of your life. Hypocrites. I threw that one in there. All the ites that are in front of us, all those things that we see that are blocking our way very often can very well come in the way of people, can they not? So guess what God's going to do with them? Move them out of the way for you. For you. Think of it. The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Think about it. The Ark of the Covenant will lead you across every situation in your life. The cross itself will lead you into a new life, will it not? You see how this is the foreshadowing of what the cross is going to do? Are you kind of grasping this a little bit? Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. When their feet touch the water, see, they got to get to the edge, right? Because now he's got to give further instructions. When you get to the edge of the water, see, your part is getting to the edge of the water. Wherever you're going through in your life, just take a step to the edge of the water. Whatever's going on in your situation in your life that you can't seem to move, just take a step. Just take a step. One little step is all it takes. You move towards the problem. It's okay to do that. Just move towards it. And even if it's a person in your life that's a blockade of some way, shape, or form, someone you cannot forgive, take a step. And God will do the rest. Feet are really important, aren't they? Our feet are what take us places, aren't they? Our feet are also the places that we've been that sometimes aren't so great, aren't they? But when we take a step towards God, just one small step towards God, everything can change in your life. You take one more step to the thing in your life that you want changing. You haven't been able to change it yet, and you keep struggling with it. Just take a step towards God and watch what he does. Watch what he does. The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord, will lead you across the Jordan River. When their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream. How does water flow towards from the mountains to the Jordan River? Downstream. You see how God is opposite of everything we would think, and how when we're going through an impossible situation, that God is going to do what we call miraculous, something that doesn't make any sense and it seems absurd. Water flows downhill, doesn't it? It goes downstream. But when you step into that water, what's going to happen is the water is going to flow upstream in the opposite direction. Huh? Wow. And the river will pile up there in one heap. Listen, if you've got a problem in front of you, or lots of problems in front of you, I don't know all of you, and I don't even know what people on Facebook are facing, but I do know this. Many of us have many problems sometimes, do we not? And they seem overwhelming, don't they? And it feels like you could even drown in them, can't you? Because you're in the problem. You got to take a step. And step out of the problem. Step out of you trying to solve it. Step away from it toward God. And then watch a problem just stream, go upstream. Pile up way far away from you. I know God can do this. It says it in the Word. This is just water. It's only water. If God can move water from one place to another, back up the mountain, what do you think he can do with your problems? Drown him in the sea? Take him out of your life forevermore? Can he? Can he? Will he? Oh, yeah. What do you have to do? Take a step. Take a step. With the Ark of the Covenant. With the cross. The thing that conquered death. Anyway. Do you know that death was cut off right then and there? It was piled up behind them. Because what if they have gone into the Jordan River? Anybody here almost drowned besides me? So I know what that feeling is like, and some of you like know what it feels like, right? And sometimes we've almost drowned in our problems, have we not? Sometimes we try to drown our sorrows in the wrong things, don't we? Which gives you a headache afterwards. But needless to say, they would have drowned. If they would have walked into that Jordan River without God's power, without God's miracle-working power, they would have drowned in the Jordan River. They would have. They would have died. But do you see what God does? He moves death. He opens death away from the people right there and then. And so they have clear way to go across that Jordan. Isn't that amazing? Sounds like the cross, doesn't it? Death was taken away from us while Jesus died, and we were set free, and we've been set free from sin and death. We no longer have it available to us. Sorry. For those of you looking forward to death, guess what? There's no such thing as death. It's been taken away, and there's only eternal life when you believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, in John 5:24, it says, whoever listens to my message and believes in God has sent me will not be condemned for their sins. They have crossed over from death to life. Isn't that good to know? You can't be condemned anymore. You've crossed over. Oh, we haven't crossed over the Jordan yet. Now, it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. So not only the water's moving backwards, but it's overflowing its banks. So really, it's not a great time to cross the Jordan, should you know. This would not be a smart move on the part of the Israelites without God. But as soon as the feet of the priests who are carrying the ark, see, it's the priests that are carrying the ark. When we're carrying Christ in all of us, we also are ark carriers, are we not? We carry the cross of Christ. We carry the life of Christ. We carry the Holy Spirit in us, don't we? So when we step into a problem, what happens to that problem? Because of the power of God within us. The water began piling up out of town upstream. As soon as they stepped into that water, and as soon as the ark touched that water above it, As soon as the mercy seat that was there went into that water, went into that situation, the water piled up upstream, all the way back to a town called Adam. Adam. Where have I heard that name before? Adam. Oh, Adam, yes. The very first man who ever sinned. That went all the way back to Adam. All the sins that ever occurred before, from the time of Adam until the time of right now, while the Israelites were crossing the Jordan, all those sins were washed away, all the way back to Adam. Wow. What's happening here? They're going to have a new life pretty soon in that promised land. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, where nothing lives. The lowest point on earth. So water went up to Adam to wash away all of Adam's sins and went all the way to the Dead Sea. And life was put into that Dead Sea. It wasn't dead anymore. So listen, if you happen to think that you sometimes go through life changes and situations that change so much that you feel dead inside and you feel like you're in the wilderness, guess what can happen? When you step forward into the Ark of the Covenant, oh, you go to the cross, go to God in prayer, what will happen is this. God will remove all those situations out of your life, take away all the things that are concerning you, and what was dead is now alive. We're resurrected. You understand that each and every one of us, every time we lose anything, every time something changes, every time we lose a person in our life, whatever it might be that changes in our life, all life changes go on all the time, do they not? But every time something dies, guess what happens to it? It gets resurrected into something different, something better, something great, something new. A newness is always going on with God. There's no such thing with death with Him. I've got a plant. I'm trying to kill it and it won't die. I'm not trying to kill it. It's just, it kind of gets scrawny all the time and I'm down to like a twig. I don't know what's wrong with that plant. But needless to say, there's a little bud on it even today, a little green leaf. I've got weeds inside my pavers. That's how God is. Have you ever seen something that you see is dead and all of a sudden something sprouts up? Does that give you hope today? Does that help you realize no matter what you're facing, and even if it seems to be insurmountable, impassable, and impossible, if you step into God, He will move mountains out of your way. He will move the waters aside. He will take away your sins as far as the east is from the west. He will give what was dead and make you alive again and give you new hope and give you a new purpose and give you something more to do in this life and while you're on the planet and to show God's power in you. I love nothing better than a success story. From rags to riches, from dead to alive, there's nothing greater than that testimony. When someone comes into this church and they're like barely walking like a zombie and they feel dead inside and they've lost everything and they lost their way and they come here and somehow God, because we bring forth the cross and we say, this cross will save your soul. Jesus Christ will come into your heart and through the power of the Holy Spirit and change you. And guess what happens? We watch transformation day one to day, I don't know when. But boy, oh boy, people change. People change and they grow. And yes, they come into the wilderness, but that's right, we'll meet them in the wilderness. We're going to talk to them about a God who can touch their lives and bring them from that to something greater. And we can bring people from death to new life, whatever that new life is, new hope. Right? Oh, the Jordan. Yeah, where was I? Oh, yeah, I went to the Dead Sea. Then all the people crossed over near the city of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the center of the riverbed. Where are they holding up God? In the center. Where does God need to be in our lives? In the center of it. And everything else revolves around it. And the more the center gets bigger, the more powerful we become, and the more like God we become. We might start out as a little teeny little bullseye like on a dartboard, but before you know it, it expands and expands and expands. Does it not? When God's focus becomes our focus and God gets larger and larger in our lives, and before you know it, you're performing all kinds of miracles. like bringing the dead back to life, like this morning. Yes. They waited there until everyone had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Everyone. See, God put the mercy seat right in the center, right? Jesus Christ as the cross was what we know that he died upon, and people looked upon him. And we carry that cross, and we acknowledge that the cross is the place where our Savior died so that we could be forgiven and have new life. And that's the center of who we believe we follow, right? But more than that, we hold up that mercy to others, do we not? When we forgive them, when we love them, when we show them who Christ is, right? By his love, and we teach them all about him, his greatest command. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what's on that cross right there. And they held that up until everyone had crossed on dry ground. So we got a little bit of work here to do yet, church, don't we? We got a lot of waiting, don't we? We got a lot of praying to do, don't we? We've got to continue to show the love of Christ to others so that when they see and they understand what mercy and grace are by the fact that we're merciful and graceful to them, right? Because no one has ever seen God amongst us, right? But we've seen God, haven't we? And we can see God how? Through one another, right? When we lift up the cross of what mercy is all about. When we say to people, take a step, just one small step towards God, God will come running to you. So we need to use the crosswalk whenever we're doing things. Crosswalk is pretty, I mean, we have one out here on 62nd now, right? Because it's pretty scary out there on the road, is it not? And is life pretty scary outside of these walls, right? Life is scary, is it not? So where should we stay? Within the crosswalk, where God is guarding us side to side, where we walk in his path, in his way, in his will only. If you stay in the crosswalk, if you understand that we have to change personally, ourselves need to go, and Christ needs to live in us. And we need to be that example to others, right? And we can then lead people to that next beautiful promised land, can't we? If we're in the crosswalk, and if we walk what the cross is all about. Redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace. That's who we must become and give to others. When all the people were safely across the river, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell the men to take 12 stones from where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and pile them up where you camp tonight. And where they're going to camp tonight is a city called Gilgal, which actually means to roll. I feel a stone's going to be rolled here. Think about this. The Jordan now has gone back, right? I mean, essentially, now they got to go into the center, take out the very stones of that place of death, and they're going to bring it, which is going to represent resurrection in the promised land, in the roll where the stone got rolled away, death got rolled away. Jesus was buried inside of the Jordan River, if you will. That's where he drowned, right? Essentially, if we look at it and symbolically, right? But where did Jesus end up? In Gilgal, the place where he was inside the tomb and they rolled the stone away. So they built two memorials. They went back and put some of the stones in the center of the Jordan River. And it said, and the reason they did this, it says, to tell your grandchildren and children's children and the congregation at Christ the Cornerstone for today, to remind them of this miracle that transpired, that they were heading for the promised land. And then they crossed the Jordan miraculously because the Ark of the Covenant was in front of them. And they landed in a place called Gilgal because all of their, chapter 5, I'm going to jump to the actual verse. The Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your sins. So that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Oh. So really, there's three stories that relate to this. Well, as far as things moving out of our way, right? Impossible things and impassable things. Once the Israelites were in Egypt, they were in slavery. They were being enslaved, treated harshly. They couldn't go worship God. What did God do? He set them free. They crossed the Red Sea. Moses held up a stick. Oh, a cross made of wood. Probably acacia wood, most likely. And then the second time we go, where God is now going to lead the people into the promised land, away from the place where they were in the wilderness. That God wanted them out of the wilderness of life. God also wanted them from death to life. So secondly, what happens is they move from the wilderness into the promised land when God rolls away the shame of what they had occurred in Egypt and in the wilderness. So that's twice that God's forgiven these people and also set them free, right? And then thirdly, what transpires, as we know, happens in the New Testament. Jesus dies on the cross. They put him into a tomb. And on the third day, he rises from the dead. And the stone was rolled away. And what does that do? He defeated death once and for all. And guess who benefits from that? That's us now. So if you never had a moving out of Egypt into through the Red Sea situation, or never from a Jordan situation, or from the wilderness into the promised land, you've now had at least a place where you can say, I know that the cross and the tomb have taken me from death into new life, eternal life. All of us have been crossed over, have we not? Is there any other notes I need to say? Oh. So now you understand the connection between the Jordan River, what it represented. That's what we talk about, water baptism, right? We have water baptism. But then there's also that last baptism that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's what Jesus did. When he died on the cross, he now could take, no longer was there needing a Ark of the Covenant, no longer does God need the cross except for a reminder about grace and mercy, but the third thing God did through the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus dying on the cross, he then set free as Jesus came out of that tomb, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's in chapter of John, at the end of John. So what do we have available to us right here, right now, then, church? The Spirit of God where? In us. So that's what I want to teach you today. That if you have a mountain in front of you, if you have a Jordan River in front of you, if you have a problem in front of you, if you have an impossible, impassable situation in your life, I want you to take the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you and step forward into that new life and show the people, show yourself, and show that problem who your God is. Because the same God that rose Jesus from the dead lives where? In heaven. Oh. Where does, where? Sorry, Lord, I'm not making fun, honestly. where does the same power live and reside? In me and in you. Are you going to turn the lights on? Are you going to use that power to cut down trees? Are you going to use that power to live again and live a life that's full and happy and peaceful and joyful and exciting and exhilarating? And are you going to help people walk from their wilderness into the new land? Because we're waiting. We're waiting for more souls to be saved. We're waiting for more people to come and know God. And you're waiting for some things as well. Are you not? Well, you don't need to wait any longer. And you don't need a fancy schmancy priest or pastor or anybody else that's all fancy schmancy whatever to solve your problem. All you have to do is what? Take the step. Take that step. Take that step. And if you don't follow Christ, take that step today. Take that step tomorrow. Because it's not just about solving our problems, is it? It's about walking with Christ every single day. And stay in the crosswalk. It's safer there. It's more powerful there. You have power. I don't know how many more times I have to say that. You have power within you to do miraculous, awesome things when you believe and trust that the same power that Jesus had, that Joshua had, that those priests had, that Moses had, you have as well. You have the power to change. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to go back to the beginning. If you're over here stuck in the past and you won't cross the Jordan, or you won't cross that Red Sea, or you won't cross with Jesus to a new life and accept him as your Lord and Savior and give up your entire life and say, I got to leave all this stuff behind, you're going to stay stuck where? Well, we're not past people, are we? We're present future people, are we not? And we're stepping forward, are we not? Okay. So you on Facebook, take a step. Take a step towards God. All of you in this room, take a step. That one small step. Even over the things that you cannot solve. Even over the things that seem insurmountable, impassable, and impossible. Because we have a God who's going to take that problem and push it upstream. And you're going to walk right on through and live a great, awesome, powerful life. Are you with me in this, church? Are you going forward with me, church? Are you going to invite others to take the trip with us, church? Just show them a crosswalk and lead the way. Amen? Amen. Amen.